tucked into the wooded landscape and rolling hills of the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center is a new forest. 6 months ago, this land was a cornfield. Today, it's the Biodiversity Tree Project, with 24,000 stick-like year-old trees. By next spring, if everything goes smoothly, there will be 11,000 more saplings in 10 fields over 25 hectares. Senior scientist John Parker, who developed the plan, is planting a variety of tree species.
We're trying to figure out whether or not an ecosystem with lots of species functions any better or worse than an ecosystem with only a few species.
Prior smaller-scale research suggests that diversity matters. It reduces pests and makes trees healthier. But Parker wondered if he would find the same result if he looked at an entire forest over the long term. The 100-year-long project calls for 125 plots with 1, 4, or 12 species each, marked off in the field by tall white poles. Parker says each provides a unique research opportunity.
In many cases, what we're seeing is a decline in native species. And then the question is, well, does that mean anything? Can other species fill that role of that missing species? Or does each species do something a little bit differently such that the sum of the parts is more than the whole?
While biodiversity has a century to supply the answers, studies are beginning now. The land sits beside a native forest and near a stream that flows into the Chesapeake Bay, the nation's largest estuary. Parker says this valuable natural resource provides fresh drinking water for millions of people.
One of the big concerns over the last, half century or so is that water quality in the Chesapeake Bay is getting worse.
The problem is exacerbated by nutrient runoff from years of farming in the Mid-Atlantic region.
What our study is doing is we take this 35 years of pre-data, we put a forest in, now we can compare what happens when you had corn versus what happens when you have a native forest planted in this sort of diverse arrangement. We can plant even more of that watershed with forest. Do we take out even more of those nutrients?
All right, so if you look at insect damage on this first leaf, I would say, that's about 10%?
Mm-hmm. Smithsonian Research Fellow Susan Cook Patton helped design Biodiversity. She's here with intern Emily Dubois to gather leaf samples.
Okay, so 10 for that one. And then the bottom leaf, maybe 65% damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we pick a middle one, that one really got eaten. That's 100% damage.
Cook Patton will take those samples back to the laboratory for analysis.
So we're interested in how the insects are eating the leaves now, and we're also looking at traits that the leaves have to see if there are some types of species that have things that make the leaves less palatable, like if they're really tough or if they're really fuzzy. Often those types of leaves will get less consumed by insects.
The data will contribute to a picture of how the landscape changes over time.
If you don't have a baseline, you really don't know what you've lost or gained in the future. And so if you can have a snapshot in time and move forward from there, you can actually learn a lot more than if we just keep doing an experiment in 2 years and then 10 more years in the future we do another short-term experiment. So scientifically, that's incredible.
Physically, it's incredible too. Over the course of 5 weeks, about 100 volunteers helped Parker and his staff plant the 24,000 trees. Phil Bishop, who managed a computer center before he retired, figures he single-handedly planted 500 to 600 of them. While his knees are a bit weary, he's glad to help out.
And decided that I could make a contribution here. And that's really what I wanted to do, was to be part of a program. I'll not see any results out of this, more than likely, given my age and everything else.
But he adds volunteering is good for the soul. And in the case of biodiversity, good for the soil, too. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, in Centerville, Maryland.